Thank you very much, Rabbi Teresa. You know, when first he texted me last night, you know, we want to have like a staff training, and I should speak to the Rebbe's. So I said, oh my gosh, staff development in like Yeshiva High School is like people are, they're all horrified that they have to sit through certain things. So that was my first gut reaction. Oh no, I'm going to have to be an agent of pain to a lot of people. And then I had to think about what in the world am I going to say that people are going to think might be relevant and a productive use of their time. And I came up with a topic that I actually think is very, very relevant to a lot of people. And I actually think that I might even have something to shed light on that is valuable to most of you, I think, in a very, very real way. And to some of you, you know, also will be valuable, probably not as much. But most of you are involved in running Shana Aleph programs in Israel. So I want to speak about the effect of the pandemic on this year's American senior grade. And the guys who are coming to a lot of to Eretz Yisrael, what, from my view, again, I have a limited view, but I, you know, but my view, what are some of the challenges that are going to be? And I would submit that I hope I'm wrong. But I think that a lot of the issues that you're going to face this year are not the same issues that you faced this past year. To go through 3 3/4 years of high school and then have it interrupted in March, at March 15th, you know, you still had, yeah, most of what you had was generally, they didn't have graduation, they had certain things they didn't have, but it's not going to be the same as kids who lived through a year and a half of pandemic from the last significant part of junior year through senior year. So I actually thought about this a little bit from last night to this morning. And I think I have some things to share that I think will be valuable to many of you. And I apologize if some of what I'm saying you already know or you already experienced yourself, but I did my best to try to present it from an American high school kid point of view. My wife gave a great, what I think is a great mashal to speak about this. You know, sometimes you have a baby is born early, so premature. Baby's born premature. So let's say normally a baby will smile at 6 weeks. So if you have a premature baby, let's say the baby was born 6 weeks early and the baby's not smiling at 6 weeks. So the doctors are not going to get concerned because this baby was supposed to spend another 6 weeks in the womb developing so that it had 6 weeks out of the womb to smile. If this baby might take 12 weeks to smile, the doctors aren't going to be so concerned about it. There's the gestational reality and the biological reality. There's the gestational calendar and the biological calendar. So you're going to be seeing a lot of kids coming to Eretz Yisrael who are not nearly as, their gestational reality is not the same as their biological reality. They may be kids who are post-12th grade, but they are not post-12th grade. Rav Dov Zinger, when he came to speak to the DRS Rebbe's once, so he held so strongly, he says in his yeshiva, he's a guy who thinks about education a lot, he says in his yeshiva, he puts all his kochos into the 12th graders. He says, 9th, 10th, and 11th, you know, you accomplish a little here, a little there, you're building, but by the time a kid's in 12th grade, that's when he's ready to really do something. That's when he's thinking a whole different way of thinking maturely. I know in our yeshiva also, we treat the 12th graders very, very differently. We give them a lot more space, a lot more room. There's a lot more that's lishma. It's a whole different approach. And these kids living through this year, much of the time on Zoom, much of the time in quarantine, all of the time, never seeing their Rebbe smile at them. Like living through a whole year. You know, they do studies on kids. They do studies on little babies. When you have like a mom, they ask the mom not to smile at the kid for the first month or two of the baby's existence, and you see what happens to the kid. It's a whole... These are kids who have never seen their Rebbe smile at them. Like, never. Basically, COVID... I really want to get to only one main point to make, but on the way, till I get there, I'm going to say a few other more minor things till the one major point that I want to make. COVID basically highlighted a lot of problems that existed beforehand. It just exacerbated them and just put them into greater relief. Tefillah B'Tzibur took a major hit this year in America. A major, major hit. People got used to davening at home. and didn't come back to shul. People got used to davening in their tent minyanim, which was an hour and 20 minute davening, and never came back to shul. You don't need the rabbi's drasha anymore. You don't have to sit through. That was parents, but kids also. I mean, I run actually a college minyan. We had 190 men and 30 women coming every Shabbos before the pandemic. When we reopened again in June, so we bekoshi got 18 to come back. Now we have like 25 men every Shabbos and three to five women come, as opposed to before when we were running 90, 100 guys and 20, 30 women every Shabbos. Davening took a hit. Now my father-in-law like loves davening. He liked davening better at home, and he really did. Most people, that was not necessarily the case. Kids had nothing to do for a lot of times. We provided zero extracurricular activities to the kids from September to February. So a lot of kids got much more into drinking than had happened before. A lot of kids. We had much, much higher numbers. Kids had nothing to do. So we took some very strong positions on cell phones before the pandemic. We had to drop everything. All of the guidelines that we gave the kids about cell phones, everything went up in smoke. There was safety concerns. The kids were home. So we lost the battle with cell phones. Kids who had special needs, Zoom destroyed the learning that they did. It exacerbated the special needs issues that they had. Kids who had anxiety, the COVID exacerbated the anxiety issues. I believe that the pandemic, in an interesting way, and other factors, has eroded kids' trust in authority. I think that the presidential politics in America also had a big hit on kids' general view of authority and respect for authority. I think the fact that doctors were running the schools for the last 12 months, and legitimately nobody really knew what to do or what the right move was, and kids were... So kids have lost trust and faith in authority. Rabbis and principals no longer have authority. And because authority was so vague, people didn't know the right guidance to give, because everybody was so in the dark. So generally, you know, Yiddishkeit needs a very healthy, strong adherence to authority for people to want Yiddishkeit. I just, similar to this, I heard a beautiful idea from Rav Avram Shor. I used to take my kids to Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz in Bnei Brak for brachos. Take them to Rav Steinman, to Rav Kanievsky, to Rav Michal Yehuda, take them for brachos. All my four boys took them for before the Bar Mitzvah. One of the things with Michal Yehuda, very, very beautiful interaction. He actually gave you time. He gave you time. I'm not upset at the people who don't give time. Their time is worth more valuable than to sit down and talk to my 12 and a half year old coming from America. But Michal Yehuda actually miraculously used to actually give time. I don't know how he did it, but he used to actually sit down. He used to sit down with you and give time. So he used to, one of the things he said, don't talk in your tefillin. He was very, don't talk in your tefillin. He was telling the kids, be very, very careful, Mr. Kibbutz of Aim. So I always thought, you know, okay, why is he telling the kids, you know, so the father brings in, so it should look good with the father, Kibbutz of Aim. So I once heard from Rav Shor, he said, why is this generation having such a big problem with Kibbutz of Aim? He says that, Rav Shor said that when my father, Rav Gedalia Shor, if his father in the 1930s would have told him at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that it was dark, it was nighttime, he would think that I must not be seeing clearly. Now, that's the level of respect that he had for his father, that if 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the 1930s, if his father would say that it was really nighttime, his father would think, that he had such respect for his father that he must just not be seeing, there must be a problem with his vision. That's the level of covet. And now you see kids just like trash their parents and mamash. So he felt that the Satan knows that in the few minutes before Mashiach, it's going to be so important that kids have respect for their parents so that they respect the traditions of where they came from. So the Satan is putting all his koichas to attack Kibbutz of Aim. That's what Avram Shor said. So the key to respect, I'm just highlighting this story as a way of highlighting that in Yiddishkeit, how important respect for parents, respect for Rabbeim, respect for authority is, respect for structure and So that has been eroded a little bit because of COVID, a little because of the American political, the political anarchy that has been going on. All of this, I could summarize. The biggest takeaway and the most important thing and the biggest problem and the biggest challenge, and in a few moments, I'm going to speak about the positives that happened during COVID, because I am an unbelievable optimist. I'm the eternal optimist on everything. I'm totally an optimist. And forget that. I mean, we're mechuyev to be optimistic. The Rebbeinu Shlomo obviously did all this for a reason, not to make all of our lives miserable. Obviously, Rebbeinu Shlomo had a reason for what he's doing, and there's got to be something tremendously positive that's ahead of us from all this thing. But the biggest issue is kids are relationship starved right now. They are relationship starved. They are coming out of a year they had no relationship or very, very little relationship with the Rebbe. A lot of the home dynamic, there was a lot more home time, which if you had a healthy and good home structure, that's great. If you didn't have a healthy, good home structure, it was a disaster. Because again, it exacerbated those fault lines that we always knew were there. But a lot of kids are coming off of horrible home, bad home relationships, which now became horrible because they're on top of each other 24/7. And no relationship with the Rebbe. You can't have that kind of relationship through Zoom with the Rebbe. And a lot of kids were on quarantine for like 3-4 months at a time this year. So there's no connection with Rebbe. There were no tishes, no malava malkas, no shabbatons, no... Kids don't know how to sing, which some of you might not be bothered by, but for me, that was a big issue. But, I mean, kids didn't have a sense of ruach. They didn't have that ruach of a Shabbos. They didn't have a Zmiris Shabbos. Kids don't know how to sing. Even on Kollel, usually, and again, I think we ran a pretty reasonably decent tish, but the kids are not, they're not holding by singing the way they used to be holding by singing. They had a year and a half of no singing. No tishes, no Shabbatons, no sense of ruach. But mostly, kids are yearning for more relationships than ever. I believe relationships is always at the core of all of chinuch from day one. I mean, it's a mishnah; it's not me. Ovi v'sabrius and mekarvan l'torah. It's the way my father was, and it's the way what I stand for. And so it was like running yeshiva with two hands tied behind your back. No Zoom destroyed relationships. The masks destroyed relationships. No smiling. So. Kids are relationship starved. So you have to realize gestational readiness and biological readiness, they might be the same age that they used to be, but they're coming in relationship starved, anxiety ridden, ruach deprived, and all the other things that I spoke about, especially special needs kids who didn't have that teacher standing next to him to help him get through the difficult reading or to get... They just didn't have the teacher standing next to them. And maybe you know this better than I do because I heard in Eretz Yisrael, the Zoom, the not being in person was even worse. Rebbes couldn't have kids over their houses. So relationships took a hit. Etc., etc., etc. What about the positives? And again, I'm not going to hold you past 12:30 because I'm not going to do that. Were there positives? So I said I'm an eternal optimist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this far. So it's interesting. The kids did show resilience through this. They did show resilience. Even with all the things that I said, they got it. They understood this is an Eis Tzara, and I got to be happy with what I got. And if I can attend yeshiva in person, that's a mila. Like the kids, they realized how much they needed yeshiva, how much they needed chevra, how much they needed their Rabbeim. By the fact that they didn't have them, it actually brought them into relief about, because you don't know what you're missing, you don't know how much you appreciate what you have until you don't have it. So it's actually, the flip side is, they're looking more for connection, because they didn't have it. They're looking more for a connection with the Rebbe. They showed resilience. They didn't complain. They didn't complain about these things. They got it. They understood that there was a higher, that there was, the health, chamir sakanta meisura, and there was a health challenge going on in the world, and they had to roll with it. So you didn't hear a lot of complaining from the kids, interestingly. They got it. They were happy with the little that they had. They were happy they can come to yeshiva, even if I couldn't play on the basketball team, or I didn't have the organized sports. You didn't hear a lot of complaining. So there was definitely resilience built. And I believe also, I mean, maybe a dumb example is not so dumb. Kids got more into like taking care of themselves fitness-wise. Whatever, that's dama side point. Read last week's parasha. And the last point I want to say is that I think emuna actually got stronger through this time. Because, you know, when there's an Eis Tzara, people turn more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I found that there was a yearning and a searching more for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davening, like I said, took a hit, but there was more respect for davening. Maybe they didn't daven as well, but they got it, the fact that this is an Eis Tzara. You know, there are no atheists in a foxhole, right? When everyone's in danger, people tend to turn more to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I think you're going to find that in the language of connection to Hashem, they're more ripe for looking for that connection. I mean, those are my brief thoughts. We have 2.5 minutes left. If any of you have any questions or concerns or thoughts along the lines of what I said or something that I didn't mention, please feel free. Let's maybe open up for some questions. And if anybody has any questions, we can or points to get into further discussion, please feel free.
How do they compare academically?
Much worse. You can't compare it. They just didn't have the same amount of hours. They weren't in school. They were learning over Zoom for months at a time of the year. That's the gestation. But they're going to be way behind in the skills that you're used to having, guys. You have to be ready for that. You have to be prepared for that. They're going to be way behind. No question about it. I mean, the brilliant kids, you know, they'll still be the brilliant kids. They were still, brilliant kids, you know, that they can make up for it. But everyone underneath the brilliant kids, you have to start more basic. Absolutely, you have to start more basic. You're going to see the skill level less.
Zoning in for a second, when you mentioned about the breaking down of your, in particular DRS, as your cell phone policies, when kids were coming back to school at the end of the year, was anything salvaged? Or should we expect yourselves like a total hefkeres to the degree that you can't even...
So I will tell... I will say like this. In DRS, let's say we saw four years ago, as cell phone, you know, we started seeing, my gosh, this, and again, it took me a while to be sold on how bad, you know, this is. But then I got sold, and one of the things that helped sell me, I was sold already, but one thing that helped sell me, we asked our parents, and 98% of our ninth grade parents at a parent meeting begged us, please don't allow cell phones in school. Please take a tougher stance. Whoa. If our parents are saying, and they didn't say it for themselves, but... So we had a rule right before the pandemic, which we were enforcing, and we loved it, and the kids loved it. But for various reasons, again, right reasons, it just the way the last that wasn't it. We just couldn't. We had two bigger fish to fry. We couldn't come down on those kinds of minor issues, and not a minor issue; it's a major issue. I would urge you, delicately, to reintroduce that, because they all know it. The kids know it. They know how addictive. I'm not even talking about pornography. I don't think pornography is the biggest problem with cell phones. The biggest problem with cell phones is the addiction, is the hours and hours and hours that you can't focus and concentrate on anything else in your life if you keep on buzzing. And I'm guilty of it as much as anybody. So I believe they understand it and they get it. But I believe it has to be reintroduced, but you should know it slid right back to where it was pre-COVID. Or I should say a year and a half, 2 years pre-COVID. We had made a huge push for 2 years, and we succeeded in making an inroad in this in DRS. But we were one of the only high schools. Again, not in the yeshivish world, obviously they did more, but in the modern Orthodox world, we were one of the only schools that took the kind of hard line that we did, and we plan on doing it again in September. Who knows what's going on now? Absolutely. Again, like every day, you know, 3 weeks ago, that's how I felt. I don't know what's going to be now. I don't know. Yes, the plan is right now to do that.
Why? Is it just because there was such focus on technology? So it was like, we can't do, I mean, Meaning, why does that need to be true? Why couldn't we come down much? Because the school was so after it being, or is it just like, we're all
we were just barely having to try to get the kids in school, and it was so complicated just to get them there. You couldn't, and a kid was like, out of school for 2 weeks, some of them needed to be able to text, exactly, like, oh, my father just tested positive, get me out of school.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
I had emotional people on that.
That too, both. Yeah, more what you're saying, more what you're saying, yeah, actually. Yeah.
Were there less amount of kids who went to their school near, percentage-wise?
No, the numbers, not from DRS, I don't know, 99, maybe with the girls' program? I don't know. I don't think so. I think. I mean, you guys know the answer to that better than me. Are all your numbers down? I don't think so. I think the numbers are up. I think the numbers are up everywhere. I think either of them. That's why I say the other thing. I think, first of all, they see in Eretz Yisrael, they're looking at all these high schools, looking at these pictures, all these kids in Eretz Yisrael, like playing ball, no masks. That's where we want to be. They got it down. But our people, I think, actually made them want to go more. And I think that the kids were in Israel this year had amazing experience. I think that the success was even more with a lot of kids because of the pandemic and all those things. So I think the kids want to go more, so.
Should our expectations be lower?
Well, if you talk about academic, I think yes. And I think in the relationship level, on the Ruach level, I think. I think the kids are just not holding where usual. They're behind. They're premature. That's why I love my wife's example. They're premature babies. They got gestated out of high school without a legit 4-year high school experience. So you have to just be ready for that.
I wonder if you could look at maybe Montreal as a 3-year high school. You should look maybe at other examples of your high school and check out what if they have a slower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's not far from accurate.
I think when they come, it's a little bit of a slower. Not at the end of their.
No, I'm saying beginning. You see the beginning. They're younger. They're younger, and they also
think adjustment. Yeah.
It's an adjustment, but I think they do very well. But there's a big difference between a full 3-year program as opposed to a year and a half of batala. I mean, batala leads to all bad things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Batala. That's a good. I'll add that to the thing. Batala maybe the day shi'amum, and batala maybe the day zima. Both were unfortunately true. Thank you for adding that. It's a great point. Tola maybe the day Zima. We saw that also, unfortunately. The boy, girl, people getting together when they weren't allowed to get together. It's like, Maim Gruvim Yumtaku, so it caused people to get together more. They appreciate coming together. Yeah.
I think you touch upon the fish, and I don't want to keep it on. I mean, if you are kidding. I can do this approach.
Anyone can leave, there you go. Everyone's here. Everyone can leave anytime.
Do you think we should be anticipating more substance issues this year than in the past? Like you mentioned.
So drinking was more. Drink. What's that?
Like 2 minutes.
Okay, with this last question. Drinking, we found more. We did not find drug use to be more. We found drinking to be significantly more. Yeah, we tested. So we tested them.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't find drug use. I don't know why. Maybe it was like such a serious time. Like people didn't want to like. They couldn't get it. Maybe they couldn't get it as much. Maybe. But we found drug use, no, by us, very, very moderately. But drinking went way up. Sky high.
More than the Friday night drinking.
Like social, like every Saturday night we had nothing else better to do, so everybody got together. Somebody by somebody's house and just pulled it out of the closets and just got trashed. All the time. And we took some serious steps about it, but it was very, very hard. Very hard. I didn't see drugs. Okay, thank you for your attention.